pen. You've been listening so well today, you guys. Well done. Who needs one of these? There you go. You can grab a board if you want to lean on a board. There you go.
We don't know how to do it.
Take it to your parents. They'll help you. You can draw a picture if you want. There's a nice dot-to-dot fish you can draw around and colour in. There you go. There you go, George, as well. Anyone else need one? Here goes Zach. Robert. Zabs. Shons. Amelia. Okay. Right, go and find a quiet place. Spread out. You've got one? You've got one, haven't you, under there? Got one? There you go. Last one. Yeah, look at that. I think that worked well. That's great. Okay, so go and find a quiet place. Shh. And then 5 minutes, you guys, especially you older ones, let the grown-ups listen. So last week, Jonathan was sharing some devotions with the team, some very encouraging devotions about the life of Peter. And the first story of the holiday club was about the calling of Peter. So I thought, as I was thinking about what to do this morning, I thought I would share just one thing that really stood out for me from that passage and impacted my heart last week. So I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It's on 1032 in the church Bibles. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He'd later changed Simon's name to Peter. And he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw this. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus tells Peter to do two things in this passage. In verse 4, he tells Peter to put out his boat into the deep, let down his nets for a catch, and Peter does it. But by his response, you can tell he's kind of reluctant and skeptical. At the end of the passage in verse 10, Jesus tells Peter to do something which is much harder, much more costly. He says to Peter, "Follow me, and you're going to catch fish. You're going to catch people instead of fish." And straight away, Peter leaves everything and trusts in Jesus and follows him. There's a movement in Peter's heart from kind of half-hearted obedience to wholehearted, "I'm fully in Jesus, I trust you." What caused that radical change in Peter's heart? How can we experience that kind of radical change in our own lives today? When Jesus asked Peter to go out into the deep and let down the nets, Peter's response is understandable. Rather than responding, "Sure, Lord, let's do this," he responds by saying, "Lord, we've worked hard all night." In other words, "Lord, I'm tired. I'm shattered." And then he says, "We haven't caught anything, Lord." In other words, there's nothing out there. There's definitely no fish out there this morning. This is ridiculous. But, Peter says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. So we have to give Peter credit, don't we? He obeys Jesus even when he doesn't feel like it. And we too need to follow him and do the right thing even when we don't feel like it. But by his response, it's pretty clear Peter's obedience is reluctant and skeptical and a bit half-hearted. Maybe he was thinking, Jesus, I've listened to your teaching and you may know the scriptures better than me. You too. Would you be able just to go to your parents and sit with your parents just so I can concentrate? Is that okay? Take them and do them over there. Okay? That's it. Take that with you. Good girl.
Good girl.
He's been listening to Jesus' teaching, and maybe he's thinking, Jesus, you may know the scriptures really, really well, better than me, but I know this lake better than you, Jesus. I've been fishing here my whole life since I was a little lad. I know the best times and the best places to catch fish on this lake. And if I haven't caught anything after a whole night's fishing, there's no way that you're going to catch anything now the sun has come up. But because it's you, Lord, and maybe because of this crowd who's all watching, I'll do it. So out they go onto the lake. And as soon as they let the nets down, the nets are filled with this ridiculous amount of fish. So many fish, the nets start to break. So they shout for their business partners, James and John, to come out and to help. And soon both nets, both boats are so full, so heavy with fish that they begin to sink. And you can imagine there's laughter and there's joy and there's shouts of excitement. The fishermen are going to make a fortune in the market that morning. When suddenly in the middle of all this joyful commotion, Simon Peter realizes something. He'd fished all his life on this lake and he had never seen so many fish. And you don't catch fish during the day, you catch them at night because during the day they're hiding at the bottom of the lake. And so many fish, so quickly, just like that. Simon Peter looks at Jesus and he realizes this is God. God is at work here. This is miraculous. Jesus is not just a rabbi. Jesus is far more than I ever imagined. And we read in verse 8 that Peter falls at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter says, "Jesus, you need to get out of my boat. You need to get as far away from me as possible. I'm filthy." Someone as holy and as powerful and as wonderful as you does not want anything to do with someone like me. I wonder if you ever feel like that. You can't bring yourself to even look in the mirror, never mind pray to God. You feel so filthy that you'd rather just be by yourself. You'd rather hide in your room than get up and go to church and see people. Maybe you wake up at night full of fear about God, about your future. Whenever people get an experience of God in the Bible, whenever they come close to God like this, they always respond in the same way. Fear. Woe is me. You're so perfect. You're so good. And my heart is so sinful. But every time in the Bible, God responds in the same way as Jesus responded to Peter in that boat. Jesus doesn't say, "You're right, Peter. I shouldn't be hanging around with someone like you. I've made a mistake." No, Jesus says in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Peter. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to be terrified of me because I love you, because I want you. I want you to follow me. I want you to be close to me. I want you to catch people instead of fish for me." There is a very healthy fear of the Lord, which involves respect and reverence and awe, a fear of the Lord which humbles us and shows us, man, I need to repent. My heart is not right. But a healthy fear of the Lord causes this kind of joyful trembling where you actually want more of God. You start to have a deeper longing in your heart for more of his glory, more of his beauty. But it's so clear from the Bible that God does not want us to be scared and terrified of him. Again and again, he sends the message of do not be afraid. To be scared and terrified of God breaks his heart. He has gone to incredible lengths so that we don't need to be scared. He has gone to incredible lengths to show us that he loves us and he wants us. At the end of his life, Jesus would show Peter just how much he loved him. Peter had a big mouth and a terrible temper. Peter had a lot of pride and was very foolish. Peter was stubborn and he was violent. Peter would deny Jesus 3 times on the night of Jesus' death. But Jesus, the one who controlled the wind, controlled the waves, controlled all of the fish in that lake, loved and wanted sinful Peter so much he would go to the cross for him. And on the cross, the Son of God was forsaken. He was made to depart from the presence of his Father for our sin, so that we can trust in him, so that we will never have to experience that. Jesus took our sin upon himself so that he can now bid sinful, ordinary, broken, normal people like us to draw near to God with confidence. God tells sinners, don't be afraid. See how much I want you. See how much I love you. Come and trust me and follow me, and I will give you life. Don't be afraid. And our response is, but I'm so sinful. And God says, I know. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. But I feel so much shame. God says, I know. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. But my faith is so weak. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. But I'm going to mess it up. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. But I don't fit in with church at all in any kind of way. God says, I know. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. And we read in verse 11 that when they got back to the shore, those disciples left their family business. They left the boats. They left the nets. They left all of those fish and the money they could make in the market to follow Jesus and to catch people for his kingdom. In the boat that day, Peter experienced the good news of the gospel, which is this. We're more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, yet at the very same time, we're more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. And knowing and believing and trusting and experiencing that is what has a real power in our hearts and lives to change us and to shape us into new people. People who are not afraid anymore, but are all in. So let's keep remembering, trusting, putting our trust in the gospel throughout the day until the Spirit helps us to believe more and more deep in our hearts that despite our sin, despite our failures, we're loved and we're wanted by the one person who really matters most of all, God himself. We're going to sing together, Fairest Lord Jesus, and then